In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acquire the spirit of peace, and thousands around you will be saved. These are the famous words of Saint Seraphim of Sarov, words that embodied his entire spiritual teaching, and undeniably the words by which he lived his life. Saint Seraphim, although a Russian saint, is among the best known and highly beloved saints of all of Holy Orthodoxy. He was born on July 19, 1754, to his parents Isidore and Agathia in Kursk, Russia. Upon his baptism, he was given the name Prochorus, after Saint Prochorus, one of the first seven deacons of the early church, and a disciple of Saint John the Evangelist. Prochorus's father, Isidore, was a merchant and builder. He owned his own brickworks company and dedicated much of his work to constructing churches and houses. Isidore was very devout in his faith, and in fact the same can be said about his wife, Agathia. But quite tragically, Isidore died at the age of just 43, leaving young Prochorus to the sole care of his mother. Following the death of her husband, Agathia took up his mantle and oversaw construction of the cathedral he had been building. Once she brought young Prochorus along with her, while he was only 7 years old. It was here that the first miracle happened to him. His mother went up to the very top of the bell tower, some 7 stories high, to inspect part of the construction process, and Prochorus followed after her. While at the top, he fell from the scaffolding all the way to the ground. In complete horror, his mother frantically rushed down to gather her presumably lifeless child, but to her and everyone else's amazement, he was found standing on his feet, perfectly well and unharmed, not a scratch, not a bump, or a bruise on him. Such a fall should have killed him, but there he stood preserved, as if he were brought down on angel's wings. He dedicated his life to prayer and reading the gospel from the time he was a little boy. He loved attending the divine services of the church, as well as learning about the lives of the saints. He was an excellent student at school and was blessed with an excellent memory. When he was 9 years old, however, he fell dreadfully ill. His health was failing rapidly, and his likelihood of survival was in serious question. At one point, he had a dream, whereby he saw the Mother of God, promising to visit and heal him of his infirmity. Not long after this revelation, a church procession came past their house, carrying with them the Kursk root icon of the sign, which depicts the Holy Theotokos at its center. Agathia quickly picked up her ailing son and carried him to the holy icon, where he kissed the Mother of God. After this, he quickly recovered. It was not long after, when Prochorus made the decision to dedicate his life entirely to the service of God and join a monastery. His mother, who no doubt knew in her heart that the Lord had reserved something special for her son, did not object to his requests. She blessed him with a gift, a copper cross, which he wore for the rest of his life. And in fact, upon his burial, he was buried with the same cross around his neck. A monastic life that lasted for 54 years began with the blessing of the elder Dositheus, actually a woman, who commissioned him to go seek out his salvation at the Sarov Monastery. He made one final return home to visit his mother and bid her farewell. He entered his new home, the Sarov Monastery, on November 20th, 1778. He was placed under the spiritual direction of Father Joseph at the request of the elder Pacomius. He faithfully served as the elder's cell attendant and participated in the making of bread and prosphora, which is the bread offered at the Divine Liturgy. And he even performed carpentry duties. His entire approach to monastic life consisted of a fervent devotion to prayer, an attitude of humility and obedience, and the reading of the Word of God. He fasted all food on Wednesdays and Fridays, and soon journeyed into the forest, where he endeavored to practice recitation of the Jesus Prayer. Following the second year of his novitiate, he fell ill with dropsy. His body became swollen, and he was resigned to spend much of his time confined to his cell. This illness lasted for about 3 years. Fearing that the illness might prove fatal, the abbot Pacomius sought to call a physician for him. However, Prochorus refused such treatment, replying, "I have surrendered myself, Holy Father, to the true physician of souls and bodies, our Lord Jesus Christ and His Immaculate Mother. But if your love thinks fit, supply me, for the Lord's sake, with the heavenly remedy." He partook of the precious body and blood, and was soon given a vision. In this vision, the Mother of God appeared to him, along with the Apostle Peter and John the theologian. And turning her face to John, she said, in reference to Prochorus, "This is one of our kind." With her scepter, she touched Prochorus on the right hip, and a hollow was formed, large enough to fit an entire person's fist, and out of it gushed the fluid of his illness. His brethren soon rushed to see him, for they had gotten word of his healing, but all that remained as a remnant was a scar where the Queen of Heaven had made her incision. On August 13th, 1786, Prochorus was professed a monk and given the name Seraphim, which means both flaming and warming, a name no doubt befitting his fervent spirit and zealousness to serve the Lord. In a year's time, he was ordained a higher deacon. The following is a word-for-word account of a vision as witnessed by St. Seraphim, who at the time was still a deacon. This taken from his spiritual biography, written by Archimandrite Lazarus Moore. "Once I happened to be serving as deacon on Holy and Great Thursday. The Divine Liturgy began at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and, as usual, was preceded by Vespers. After the little entry in the readings, I, poor sinner that I am, exclaimed in the royal doors, 'O Lord, save the pious and hear us.' And entering the royal doors and holding up my stole to the people, I finished. And to the ages of ages, when suddenly I was struck by a ray as of sunlight. Glancing at this radiance, I saw our Lord and God Jesus Christ, in the image of the Son of Man, shining with glory and unutterable light, surrounded by heavenly powers, angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, as if by a swarm of bees, and proceeding through the air from the western doors of the church. On reading the ambon, the Lord raised his most pure hands and blessed the clergy and the congregation. And then stepping into his holy local icon, which is to the right of the royal gates, He was transfigured, surrounded by choirs of angels, who shone with unutterable light all through the church. And I, who am dust and ashes, by meeting the Lord Jesus then in the air, was granted a special blessing from him. My heart felt pure, enlightened joy in the sweetness of love for the Lord. Saint Seraphim's appearance changed, and struck by the divine vision, he could not even move from his place by the royal gates. When Father Pachomius noticed this, he sent two other higher deacons, who took him under his arms and led him into the sanctuary. But he continued to stand there motionless for about 3 hours in ecstasy, and only his face constantly changed. Now it would become white as snow. Now a flush would spread all over it. After the service, the elders asked him what happened. And Father Seraphim, who hid nothing from his spiritual fathers, told them everything. They gave him the commandment to enclose himself in silence, and to immerse himself still more deeply in humility, and to beware of arrogance from such an unusual vision. The saint accepted their instructions with wholehearted meekness, and remained silent for the time being. In 1793, Seraphim was ordained to the order of the priesthood, and was then granted his request to live alone in the forest, a distance of almost 4 miles from the monastery, in a small shack that stood perched atop a high hill in the forest next to the river Sarovka. And he gave his new home a name, Mount Athos, and there he prayed continuously. He cultivated a small garden as well as a beehive. He ate once a day, and at that the meal was usually on the lighter side. And, as we mentioned before, he abstained from all food on Wednesdays and Fridays. The only time he ventured to the monastery was on Saturday, before the all-night vigil, and would return to his wooden shack after the Sunday Mass. In order to combat the onslaughts of the enemy, Seraphim undertook an ascetical struggle, mirroring the discipline of Saint Simeon the Stylite. At night, he used to climb atop a huge granite boulder, or a stone in his cell, and, resting for only brief moments, would stand or kneel the entire night while praying the Jesus prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." This he did for 1,000 days and nights. One day, while chopping wood, Father Seraphim was attacked by 3 robbers. I shall like to read for you from the before-mentioned biography by Archimandrite Moore concerning this horrific incident. Once Father Seraphim was cutting wood in the forest, 3 unknown peasants went up to him and began arrogantly to ask for money. "Lay people come to you and bring you money." "I do not take anything from anyone," answered the elder. But they did not believe him and assaulted him. Father Seraphim possessed great bodily strength, and besides, he had an axe and could defend himself. This thought, as he afterwards said, even flashed through his mind. But he at once remembered the words of the Savior, "All who take the sword will perish by the sword," Matthew chapter 26, verse 52. And the holy ascetic calmly put down the axe and said, "Do what you want." Then one of the robbers raised his own axe, and with the shaft gave the hermit a blow on the head. The blood poured from Father Seraphim's mouth and ears, and he fell unconscious to the ground. But the evildoers went on beating him and dragged him to his cell, hoping he would there regain consciousness and show them the money himself. In the anteroom, they bound him hand and foot and began to search the hermitage. They even broke the stove. They broke the floor and found nothing. Suddenly they were assailed by fear and ran away in terror. Father Seraphim regained consciousness and untied himself with difficulty. First of all, he thanked God for granting him to bear sufferings, though innocent, and prayed for the forgiveness of the criminals. On the next day, he reached the monastery with tremendous effort. The liturgy was being celebrated. The brethren were terrified at the dreadful appearance of the saint. His clothes and both his head and beard were covered with blood and dust. His face and hands bore numerous wounds. Blood had clotted in his ears and mouth. His teeth had been partly broken. On being questioned by the monks, Father Seraphim remained silent. But after the service, he revealed everything to Father Isaiah in the confessor of the monastery. He was kept in the monastery. For 8 days, the patient suffered unbearably, without sleeping or taking either food or drink. The Father Superior, fearing for his life, sent to Arzamas for medical help. 3 doctors and 3 assistants arrived. Having examined the patient, they found the following. His head was broken, his ribs smashed, his chest stamped in. The body also bore some mortal wounds. They were astonished that a man could remain alive after all that. At the beginning of the examination, Father Seraphim was conscious, but toward the end of it, he fell into a coma and was granted a wonderful vision. At the right side of his bed appeared the Most Holy Mother of God, with the same apostles Peter and John as on her first visit. Pointing with the finger of her right hand at the sufferer, she turned to the side where the doctor stood and said, "Why do you trouble yourselves?" Then she looked at Saint Seraphim and again repeated to the apostles her previous words, "This is one of our kind." The vision ended. At that moment, the Father Superior entered. The doctor proposed to him and to the patient to let blood, to wash the wounds with alcohol and apply plasters. But Father Seraphim declined all this, surrendering himself to the will of God and the Most Holy Mother of God. And he was suddenly filled with unutterable joy, which lasted for about 4 hours. Towards the evening, he rose from his bed, to the amazement of all. And at the 9th hour, he asked for some bread and salt cabbage and strengthened himself. He gradually began to recover. But the traces of this onslaught remained on his body for life. Even before, he used to stoop, having been crushed while cutting down a tree. But now he was quite bent. And from that time, Father Seraphim walked leaning upon an axe or a hoe. End quote. In 1807, the abbot Father Isaiah departed this life, and Father Seraphim was asked to take his place, to which he graciously declined. He then proceeded to live the next 3 years in silence, only visited by a monk once a week who would bring to him food. If anyone ever happened upon him in the woods, he would fall on his face and would not pick himself up until the passerby was out of sight. When a new superior was appointed, Father Niphon, he urged Father Seraphim to either attend the divine liturgy every Sunday or move back into the monastery for good. Seeing as he now moved around with difficulty, he opted to move back into the monastery. Thus ended his time of seclusion in the woods, which lasted a total of 15 years. He then shut himself up in his cell, focusing on prayer and reading scripture. He also received his meals in the Holy Eucharist from his cell as well. After doing this for 5 years, he finally opened his door to the other monks. but at that saying very little, electing rather to teach by example. No matter the time of year, he would greet people with the words, "Christ is risen, my joy." He would often be seen carrying a knapsack filled with stones and leaning on a walking stick or axe. At one point, he was questioned about it and simply replied, "I am troubling him who troubles me." Now, I'd like to share with you an excerpt about St. Seraphim taken from the OCA website, which reflects the sheer holiness of this wonderful saint. Nicholas Alexandrovich Motovilov was also healed by the monk. In 1903, shortly before the glorification of the saint, the remarkable conversation of St. Seraphim of Sarov with Motovilov was found and printed. Written by Motovilov after their conversation at the end of November 1831, the manuscript was hidden in an attic in a heap of rubbish for almost 70 years. It was found by the author S.A. Nilus, who was looking for information about St. Seraphim's life. This conversation is a very precious contribution to the spiritual literature of the Orthodox Church. It grew out of Nicholas Motovilov's desire to know the aim of the Christian life. It was revealed to St. Seraphim that Motovilov had been seeking an answer to the question since childhood, without receiving a satisfactory answer. The holy elder told him that the aim of the Christian life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit, and he went on to explain the great benefits of prayer and the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. Motovilov asked the saint how he can know if the Spirit is with us or not. St. Seraphim spoke at length about how people come to be in the Spirit of God, and how we can recognize His presence in us. But Motovilov wanted to understand this better. Then Father Seraphim took him by the shoulders and said, "We are both in the Spirit of God now, my son. Why don't you look at me?" Motovilov replied, "I cannot look, Father, for your eyes are flashing like lightning, and your face is brighter than the sun." St. Seraphim told him, "Don't be alarmed, friend of God. Now you yourself have become as bright as I am. You are in the fullness of the Spirit of God yourself, otherwise you would not be able to see me like this." Then St. Seraphim promised Motovilov that God would allow him to retain this experience in his memory all his life. "It is not given for you alone to understand," he said, "but through you, it is for the whole world." St. Seraphim's spiritual insight and wisdom amazed many. There are so many, too many to count, in fact, miracles that were accomplished by the saint to share. However, there is one wonderful narrative in particular from his biography detailing his spiritual gifts. Many were amazed by Father Seraphim's spiritual insight and wisdom. Once the abbot, Archimandrite Anthony, and a merchant of Vladimir, entered his cell together. Father asked the abbot to take a seat and wait while he began to talk to the merchant. "All your difficulties and troubles are the consequences of your passionate life. Give it up. Mend your ways." And then he meekly and tenderly began to convict him of all his sins, but with such warmth of heart that both his hearers wept copiously. Finally, Father Seraphim told the merchant to prepare for Holy Communion at Sarov, and assured him that if he sincerely repented, the Lord would not deprive him of his grace and mercy. The contrite merchant fell down at his feet, promising to carry out all his directions, and departed in tears, but with an unburdened soul. Father Anthony was astonished at the spiritual insight of the elder, and said to him later, "Father, the human soul is open to you like a face in the mirror. Before my very eyes, you told the pilgrim everything without waiting to hear his spiritual needs and troubles." Father Seraphim did not say a word. The abbot continued, "Now I see. Your mind is so pure that nothing in the heart of your neighbor is hidden from it." Father Seraphim put his right hand on the Archimandrite's mouth and said, "You are not quite right, my joy. The human heart is open only to the Lord, and God alone knows our hearts. But a man will come, and the heart is deep." Psalms 63:7. Then he told of how St. Gregory the theologian had been rebuked by certain people for having shown favor to Maximus the cynic. But the saint said, "God alone knows the secrets of the human heart. I saw in him a man who had turned from paganism to Christianity, which to me is a great thing." The abbot asked again, "But how is it, Father, that you did not ask the merchant a single word and told him all he needed?" Father Seraphim then explained at some length, "He came to me just as others do, just as you came too, as to a servant of God. I, sinful Seraphim, regard myself as a sinful servant of God. What the Lord tells me, I pass on to whoever seeks help. The first thought which comes to my mind, I accept as God's guidance and speak without knowing what is in the other person's mind. I merely believe that God's will is made known to me in this way for his benefit. Sometimes people tell me something, and without referring to the will of God, I trust to my own knowledge, thinking that it is possible to decide it with my own mind, without having recourse to God. In such cases, mistakes are always made." The elder concluded this edifying and instructive talk with the words, "Like iron to the smith, I have surrendered myself and my own will to the Lord God. As he wills, so I act. I have no will of my own, but what God wills, I pass on." End quote. Almost 2 years shy of his earthly end, St. Seraphim was given another vision of the Theotokos standing before him, along with St. John the Baptist, John the theologian, and the 12 virgin martyrs. After conversing for a time with him, the Holy Queen said unto him, "Soon, my dear one, you shall be with us." The nun, Eupraxia, whom Father Seraphim had invited to accompany him, was also present for this holy visitation. Towards the end of his life, he could be seen floating in the air while praying. To this, Seraphim adamantly forbade those who witnessed it to say anything until his repose. He would often be seen laying or sitting in his coffin in his cell, which he crafted with his own hands, as if knowing his time was coming to an end. "When I am no more," said the love-filled Father Seraphim to his fervent admirers, "come to my grave. Come whenever you have time. The oftener the better. All that weighs on your soul, whatever happens to you, whatever sorrows you have, come to me and bring all your troubles to my grave. Fall down on the earth and tell me everything as if I were alive, and I will hear you. All your sorrow will fly away and pass. Just as you always talked to me when I was alive, so here too. For you I am alive and will live forever." End quote. on January 1st, 1833. Father Seraphim attended the Divine Liturgy and consumed the Holy Eucharist for the last time. He imparted these last words to his beloved brethren. Save your souls. Do not be despondent, but watchful. Today, crowns are being prepared for us. The next day, January 2nd, at 6 in the morning, Father Paul, Saint Seraphim's cell attendant, noticed the smell of smoke coming from out of the saint's cell. The saint would often burn candles during the night, but Father Paul was concerned that if left unattended, a fire would start. When I am alive, Seraphim once said, there will be no fire, but when I die, my death shall be revealed by a fire. And when they opened the door, it appeared that books and other things were smoldering. Saint Seraphim was found kneeling before an icon of the Mother of God with his arms crossed on his chest. His pure soul was taken by the angels at the time of prayer and had flown off to the throne of the Almighty God, whose faithful servant Seraphim had been all his life. Father Seraphim was canonized Saint Seraphim of Sarov on July 19, 1903. Some 200,000 people were in attendance for the festivities, including Tsar Nicholas II. His relics are on display at the convent church in Divyevko. Countless miracles have been performed through his intercessions to this day. Too many to try and mention, but I hope that in just mentioning a few, that you are as illumined as I am by this wonderful saint. Thou dost love Christ from thy youth, O Blessed One, and longing to work for him alone, thou didst struggle in the wilderness with constant prayer and labor. With penitent heart and great love for Christ, thou wast favored by the Mother of God. Wherefore we cry to thee, save us by thy prayers, O Seraphim, our righteous Father. Amen.